Seven seals and men, the original I, the original sin, the original life. Seven seal is under the original life, the original sin.
Amen. Be nice just to sing. Just to keep on singing. Would you greet your saints in Jesus' name this evening? Thanks very much to the saints for the music. Just before we read the scripture, I got an email from Brother David's sister, Sister Sarah. She just left this last week. Just leaving to go to join her husband in Saudi Arabia. So she was really thanking the saints. It was a very nice email. She's saying, thank you so much to the church. Thank you so much for your prayers, fellowship, and so forth. She says she'll be joining us through streaming. And she says she'll really keep in contact. But she asked me to send greetings and say thank you so much to the saints for their kindness and everything. And asking to keep her in prayer in Saudi Arabia. I think of Sister Susan being there in Algeria. You know, those kind of places where you can't walk around with your Bible and testify to people. It's not an easy place. It really needs the grace of God. So let's keep her in prayer, Sister Sarah, but she was really sending greetings to the saints. Let's open Luke 1, verse 26 down to 38. Luke 1, from verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God. I like that. You know, there was an angel who was sent from God. Unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin. So whenever an angel is sent from God, he's sent to somebody. So there was a specific person that he was sent to a virgin. Espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And, you know, straight away, when I read that, I say, but yay, she might have been having quite a hard week. She might have been wondering sometimes, so what is it that God thinks about me? Why is this not working in my life? And when that anointing angel came, he really told her what God thought about her. And that makes all the difference. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary. For thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. So what she's going to bring forth is of great power and authority. Now it's maybe just coming into her womb now. It's going to come to a time that it's going to manifest itself from the womb and it's going to have great power and authority. And she would never have believed that such a thing could be born from her. Something which was going to be, continues on, verse 33. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be? Now such a great thing. How is this going to happen to me? Seeing I know not a man. And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Once the message had been given, and once it had been received, the angel departed from her. Let's bow heads. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, to read of these things. There's something so precious when you read of Mary. Oh, Father, how we thank you, Lord, for all of these things in your word. Father, that would do something deep inside of us. that, Lord, when you read of an angel being sent from God, Father, when you read of these things, Lord, Father, how our souls, the deep ministers to the deep, Father, and all we can say to you, Lord, be it unto us according to your word. Father, do pray for Sister Sarah. May you help her. Help her and her husband in that place, Lord. Father, may somehow you use her for your glory there. May you keep her and protect her. Watch over her, Lord, we pray. And Father, pray for Brother Francois, Lord, in Belgium, that you bless him. Be with him and his mother, Lord, I pray. And be with us this night in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated, saints. Just to take a Wednesday thought, we'll take that thought of, be it unto me according to thy word. And I think it's a blessed prayer to pray, be it unto me according to thy word, especially when you consider where this word came from. This word that was brought to her, it wasn't just an ordinary word. And just this thought, I was just thinking in the church age book, the prophets, how he says it. He says, the word is in the bride as it was in Mary. You know, we know the quote. And I was thinking of that to say, you know, the word is in the bride as it was in Mary. And I thought, how did the word get into Mary? And you think, how did that word get into Mary? It's exactly the same way that it gets into us. Is God sent an angel from his presence. God sent an anointed angel from the presence of God, and he came down and he was anointed with an anointing to bring forth that promise. That as soon as Mary accepted that message, as soon as it went not just into the mind but down into the soul, it really, really struck her soul, and you know, she caught it and she said, be it unto me according to your word. The anointing that was upon that message caused her to conceive. And now the word was going to go through the process and bring forth of its own kind in due season. And if you think of Mary that day when Gabriel came, imagine she was standing in the presence of an angel who came from the throne of God. Imagine the presence that she was standing in upon that day. And the longer she stood in that presence and the longer she allowed that angel to minister to her. And when she put her questions back, how shall this be and so forth. You know, the longer she stayed there, the more she was ministered unto. And things started to soak in and things started to bathe down. Now this is, we just mentioned it the other day. We know this quote, God's only provided a place of worship. The prophet says, I believe the church is beginning to hear the message. Beginning to understand it. But friend, listen. We've got to lay in the presence of the Son to get ripened. Because our faith isn't ripe. Intellectually, we're sharing the message that God has given us and seeing the signs that He showed us and proving it by the Bible, but how the church needs to lay in His presence till it tenders up, you know, and gets sweet in the Spirit so it can bathe down. Hey, because this word, this message that was brought from this angel was a strong message. When Gabriel came to Mary, you think of being Mary. She was a teenage girl. The prophet says she was a young girl. She's living in Nazareth. I mean, it's just a backwoods of a town. There was nothing good in Nazareth. That's why when they said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? It was a small place, an insignificant place far away that nobody would even consider. But you think God sent his angel with such a message to her. You know, it was a message that unless she got in the spirit of it, it was going to be an unbelievable message. Who could believe that she, Mary, could bring forth such a promise as that? That she could bring forth that which prophets had prophesied of for centuries and centuries and centuries. That there were so many scriptures stored up waiting to be fulfilled. And this angel came to him and said, these scriptures are going to be fulfilled through you. You're going to bring forth the word of promise in your age. That was unbelievable. You know, that's, and it's always, you know, whenever something comes, how the prophet speaks of your mind being the womb of the spirit. Now, things have to go through your mind first. And there's always going to be those things, but you know, how is this going to be? How can this be? And, you know, but who am I? And all the things that you'd find the people in the Bible always said when the Lord came to them, like with Gideon, when the angel came to Gideon and wanted him to realize who he was. That he wasn't born to be hiding behind the threshing floor there. You know, behind the wine press or whatever it was. But he was a mighty man of valor. And when that angel came down and says, thou mighty man of valor. And then all of a sudden, you know, the thoughts start coming, but who am I? You know, my father's house is small and all these kind of things. It's a natural reaction for us to have to go through that kind of a thing. But as long as he continued to stay in the presence of that angel, and that angel continued to minister to him, because that angel had been sent with a commission from the throne of God, that angel was sent specifically to a chosen vessel. And friends, when the message came your way, when God sent his angel to you, there was no coincidence in what God did. Now, when God sent his anointed angel to you to come with an anointed promise specific to you, God didn't make any mistakes. Now, we're always going to look at it and think, but hey, how can that ever happen through me? But God's word will come to pass. And if we can just stay in his presence and let it bathe down, and really, really let things move from the womb of the spirit, the spiritual womb, the mind, and move down into the soul to come and anoint now that seed which has been predestinated inside of you. Because Mary was predestinated. Her womb was predestinated to bring forth the word in her age. Her womb was specially predestinated to bring forth, to conceive when that angel came down to her. Friends, not everybody conceives when the message comes to them. So many people turn their back. Look at all the things that take place in the message, what people say. But there's a people who have got a predestinated womb, spiritual womb, that has been predestinated to conceive of that seed. You know, yes, it's going to be all these things that will come try to trouble you here and there, like with Mary, but you continue to stay in his presence. And you continue to let him minister to you, and you continue to minister to him. And he's going to minister you through that situation that you're in. And that word's going to bathe down, and you know, it's going to start, like we said, it's going to start changing the seed in you from being green to becoming a little bit golden brown, and the promise is going to become more and more real. And like Mary, the longer she stood there, she could believe for greater and greater things. The longer she stayed and allowed that angel to minister to her, she now believed for things which are incredible. She believed she was going to bring forth the Messiah. She was going to bring forth someone whose kingdom was going to have no end. His name was going to be great. He was going to inherit the throne of his father David and all of the great riches of the promise that had been given to Mary. But just as a young girl, she might have looked at herself and said, but who am I? Now, it's not important what you and I think about ourselves. It's important what he thinks about us. And that's why he sent his angel to her, so that she could realize what he thought about her. And friends, the message has come to us so that we can know what God thinks about us. We can sometimes think different things about each other. But the most important thing is if we can catch that revelation, let it bathe down what he thinks about us. Friends, and the fact that he sent his angel to her, I mean, that speaks more than any words that could be spoken. The fact that God sent his anointed angel to her. Think of it. And you think of God sending his angel to you. It's exactly the same thing. Because the prophet says the word is in the bride just as it was in Mary. It had to get into Mary the same way that it gets into us. And when that message came to her that first day she conceived, she didn't yet see the fullness of the promise. But she conceived. And the word started to grow inside of her now. The word started to grow, and then in due season, she brought forth exactly what the message came to her to bring forth. And I'm sure that's your hunger and your thirst, like it is with mine. That you'd want to see a greater bringing forth from your spiritual womb as well. That what it needs, stay in his presence. Let him bathe down. Take the anointed word of the angel of this age and let it minister to you, and let him tell you what God had in his mind for you. What God really thinks about you. Mary might have just thought, I'm just a handmaid. Who am I? But God didn't look at her like that. Amen. And God sent an angel down and says, you are blessed among women. Amen. You found favor with God. Amen. Friends, we need those kind of things. Amen. Because there's the accuser of the brethren. He's going to be telling a lot of other stories as well. He's going to be pointing out this and pointing out that and pointing out the other in your life. That if you don't go back into the presence of that angel and allow the Lord to tell you what he really thinks about you, to allow the Lord to tell you who you really are in his sight, why you were born and all those kind of things. Our friends, that's where the faith comes from. Faith comes from hearing and hearing by the word of God. And she was standing in the right place and bathing in now this message from this anointed angel that had been given to her. And it was doing something inside of her. And she was yielding herself to it. The prophet says it just needs to bathe down. Because these were exceeding great and precious promises that had been given to her. I mean, this wasn't a small thing. It's like the quotes, friends. I'll just read you a couple of quotes here from the message. Now, I love to meditate on these things sometimes because you say, Lord, let it bathe down. Let it get to the stage that it quickens and brings forth of its own kind. The prophet says in Speak to This Mountain, 1959, he says, I believe that the church of the living God is moving into a sphere now that's going to shake the whole world. Now you look at yourself and say, what, me? I do something that's going to shake the world. It's exactly the same as Mary saying, what about me bringing forth something that's going to never end? It's going to establish the throne. It's going to have power and authority. It's the promise of the angel. He says it's going to shake the whole world. Ask anything that you will, and it shall be given to you, anything you desire. That anointing will strike the whole church of the living God. The same anointing that struck Mary and she conceived. The same anointing that brought forth the word in her age. It's the same anointing, friends. And the prophet says it's going to strike the whole church of the living God. And she will rise to her feet like a mighty marching army. Friends, that's the fullness of it. You know, we've conceived and we've got it in a potential form, but let it bring forth. Let us go before the Lord and stay in His presence. Say, Lord, be it unto me according to your word. Let that come to pass for your glory. The prophet says, the church of the living God, the sick will be healed by a word. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will be raised up, and the power of God will shake the world with the church of the living God. He says, we're in the process of it now. I believe it's soon coming to pass. I believe it'll be just exactly that way. I believe it's going to strike the church of God soon. And it's going to start a revival that'll shake the world. How that rain, that latter rain, former rain and latter rain would be together. That's exactly. That's a serious one, friends. Now, if you're just going to just pass over that, it's going to be just like Mary just passing over the promise in her age. But she stood there and she said, how can this be? And then he told her, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. And she stayed there and she allowed that promise to bathe down. And then it was real to her. And she said, be it unto me according to your word. And something happened inside of her right there when she accepted that promise. Now the prophet says it in, hear ye him, 1960. There'll be a power put into the church. And now is coming in. That the Holy Spirit will so anoint the people that they'll speak the word and it'll create itself right there. That's a wonderful promise, friends. And that's to nobody else. Because the anointed angel, when the anointed angel came with the message to Mary, it was specifically for Mary. God doesn't make any mistakes who He sends His anointed promises to. He sends His angel to the right vessel in the right time for exactly the purpose that He's ordained. And Mary was that vessel. And friends, we the vessels in this age. Exactly the same as she was. And we just need to allow it to bathe down so that it sinks into the soul. The prophet says we haven't seen power like coming into the church now. So all that went before, when the fullness comes into the bride, there's nothing to compare. But the prophet actually says it'll be the fullness of the Godhead in His bride just before the coming. That's a serious promise, friends. And I'm sure you're looking forward to that and you wanted to see more of a manifestation now of that inside of your life. So how does the word get into us? The same way with Mary. Just let it bathe down. Stay in His presence. Let Him minister it to you until it becomes real. And He says, and your faith starts to ripen. And then you can start now like her to believe for greater and greater things. You can start now to accept and have a reality like her of more and more of what she was being told. Until she accepted, she said, that's the truth. I don't need to understand too much of the mechanics or all of this, but be it unto me according to your word. And that's all that she had to say. The prophet says the placing of the church in position. When the fullness of the power of the Holy Ghost comes into the church, the critics' mouths will then be shut. It'll be a short time. Notice it won't last long, but it'll be here. Friends, I love to go and read those things. Don't you? I've seen certain things in my life, and I'm sure you've seen certain things and can testify of them. But friends, don't you hunger and thirst to see a lot more than that? And the reason you hunger and thirst for it is because your womb was predestined to bring forth the fullness of the promises in this age, just as much as Mary's womb was ordained to bring forth the fullness of the promise in her age. And she received it in her day. You know, the prophet speaks about her so much, about Mary being a type of the bride. So it had to go through the spiritual womb first. That's where the battle comes in. The greatest battle ever fought. If you don't stay in his presence long enough, you can be like Zechariah. Because in the same chapter, the same angel comes to Zechariah and gives him the promise. Let's look at that. It says in verse 11, Luke 1, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard. Sometimes we can disbelieve the answer to our own prayers. He's been praying and praying and praying and praying for the Lord to give them a son. God sends the anointed angel now, anointed with the anointing to bring forth the answer to his prayers. And Zechariah doesn't believe it when it comes. It's too outstanding for him to think. Yet his prayer's been heard, the angel says. I've come because of your prayers. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. And thou shalt call his name John. And you shall have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. Ah, great promises to these people as well. He shall drink neither wine and so forth. Verse 16. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias. We know the prophecies concerning John. And what does Zechariah do now? Verse 18. And Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years. What's he doing? Like Brother Lubanza said, he's looking at that which he's seen. He's now focusing. Imagine an angel stand, an anointed angel from the throne is standing there. He's speaking to an angel. And instead of focusing on the angel and listening to what this angel's telling him, he's looking at his circumstances. He's saying, but I'm well stricken in years and my wife is well stricken in years. I don't understand how this is going to be. Friends, it's a sad situation to be in. No. And look how the angel answers him. It's like the angel, look, verse 19. And the angel answering said unto him, I'm Gabriel that stands in the presence of God. Don't you know who I am? Don't you know the significance of who it is that's speaking to you? Consider who I am that's speaking to you. And friends, if we would consider who it is that God sent to us in this age as well, if we would consider and say, but this was Elijah. All the other ages after Paul just had reformers and they just had church age messengers. But God sent us a prophet. God sends us somebody that he could put his word in this man's mouth. Because the prophet says God had to bring forth a virgin bride. There had to be a virgin bride. So it couldn't come from the old systems gone by. But if you and I would really consider and think, let it bathe down and say, but hey, God has sent his prophet to me. God didn't just send Wesley to me or Luther, mighty men that they were. God didn't send Columba and those ones back there. But God sent Elijah to me in the end time. A man a man sent from God like John was sent from God. And like I say, friends, when God sends an angel and his messengers, he sends them specifically to where they're supposed to go. He doesn't make mistakes in that. So when the message comes your way, friend, God has a purpose. But we can be like Zechariah, that we come and we're looking at all these other things and we're not paying attention to what the significance of this visitation really is. We're not paying attention to who is this being. He's coming from, imagine, there's the very Shekinah glory of God overshadowing the throne. Yeah? And this angel has come from that very Shekinah presence of God. And God has spoken to this angel, has spoken to Gabriel and says, Gabriel, I've heard the prayers of my son Zechariah and my daughter Elizabeth. Go down. Tell him that his prayers have been heard. Tell him that his wife is going to bring forth a son. God specifically thinking about this man and his wife. And God sending his word specifically to them. But they started to look at the circumstances. Friends, it's like us. Many times we do that. And we need to go back to the Lord and repent and then focus once again on the things that we should be focusing on, which is on what God is trying to speak to us, what God is trying to put across to us. And then finally, we know how it is with Zechariah. He's struck dumb, but he still brings forth the promise in the end, because God doesn't send his messengers for nothing. Now, if God sends his messenger, he's got a purpose in sending forth the messenger. Now, the prophet in the message, spoken word is original seed. He speaks of these things so much in that message, you know it. He speaks of your mind being the gate to the soul. He says your mind is the gate to the soul. Before anything can get to the soul, it's got to go through the mind. That's the spiritual womb. He says now there's a womb of the physical and there's a womb for the spirit. Do you believe that? There's a spiritual womb and a physical womb. And the mind is the womb to the spirit. So it's got to pass through there. So if you're just going to let the anointing come and bathe down while you're meditating upon the promises, while you're allowing the angel to minister to you, it's going to move through your womb and you're going to conceive. And something's going to take place. He says that's how adultery is committed spiritually. When you, knowing better by the word of God, by the intercourse of the mind, you take a lie of the devil against the word of God. So when you allow your predestined womb to accept something which isn't the message of the hour, and you accept that, that's adultery now. It's like a woman taking the seed of someone who's not her husband. It's exactly the same thing. You committed it spiritually. The prophet says that's exactly what Eve did. With a spiritual intercourse first that came by believing Satan's lie in the womb of her mind. And that polluted her soul, sent death in her soul, then the natural act took place. So the devil uses exactly the same method. God sends his anointed angel to us. We receive the word like Mary. It brings life into the soul. And then physically something will take place, a body change or the promises of God. It has to go the same way. The devil now brings his anointed messengers as well, but not anointed with life, not coming from the presence of God. And they come and they anoint it. And if you listen to them for too long, and you allow it to conceive inside of your mind, you pollute the whole thing. And then once you pollute it in the womb of your mind, through the wrong kind of intercourse, it's very easy for you to go and do the physical act. You fall first spiritually, and then the physical act takes place. The same as us, the prophet says in the church age book, in getting in the spirit, it says, the whole call of the church is to get in the spirit. It says, if you're seeking anything, don't do the act first. Get in the spirit of the promise first, and then the act will take care of itself. Don't try to do something. Get it right in the spiritual realm first. And then once you've conceived there, then the natural is going to take care of itself from there. But that's where the great thing comes in. And friends, that's why God had to send us the message of the hour in this age. Because there's so much deceit. There's so many other things to attract us. This is Satan's Eden, all of these other things. And God sent us an absolute. God sent us an angel from the presence of God. And you think, for Mary to bring forth the bridegroom, the angel had to come to her. And she had to receive what he said. Then she conceived and she brought forth Jesus. And then God has a prophet in a cave and he's troubled about his ministry. And God sends his angel down to the prophet because God wants to bring forth the bride. That's what he wants to bring forth. And that angel comes down in the cave and says to the prophet, "Fear not, I'm sent from the presence of Almighty God." And says, "And I want you to come to explain to you about your strange birth. You know, and what your misunderstood life. You've been born to take a gift of healing to the nations of the world." And the prophet says, "How can this be?" He says, "My family is poor. You know, people will never believe me." He says, "You'll be given two signs. Like Moses was given two signs. Firstly, you'll take the hands of the people. There'll be a reaction. and people. And then the prophet says, but they're never going to believe me. He says, you'll be given another sign. And the second sign, you will know the thoughts and intents of the heart, and they'll believe that sign. And then the prophet says, I think how the angel says, the angel said to the prophet, I'll go with you. And then the prophet says, I'll go. I like that. He knew, as long as you go with me, then I'm going to go. But it was exactly the same thing. You know, that visitation of the angel when he came down, it was exactly to the right man at the right time for a specific purpose. So the prophet could go forth so they could come forth the bride. The prophet had to go through the same thing that you and I have to go through. And like I say, the important thing is, if the Lord could allow it to bathe down in us what he thinks about us. You remember Daniel, when he also had the visitation of the angel. In Daniel chapter 9, and the angel came down and said, thou art a man greatly beloved. That's why I've come forth to give you skill and wisdom and understanding. And the prophet says that in 70 weeks of Daniel, he says, did not he bring our brother Daniel such a wonderful salutation from God? Oh, Daniel, greatly beloved. Wouldn't that make you good to think that God loved you? Even if I wasn't greatly loved, I'd just like to know that I'm kind of loved a little bit up there. Wouldn't you? Just that he thinks of me once in a while. It would make me just want to scream to think that he cares about me. Friends, that's a good thing when you stay in the presence of the Lord and you allow him to speak to you, because he's going to say the same thing to Daniel. You're greatly beloved. Look at the things that he said to Mary. You blessed among women. You found favor before God. All generations are going to call you blessed. Now, as long as she stayed there, she was going to start looking at herself in a different kind of a way. Not because of herself or any goodness that she had inside of herself, but she started to see things the way that God saw things. She started to look at herself the way that God looked at her. And that makes all the difference, friends, to you and I. That's why the prophet says in the church age book, remember, Christ in the true church is a continuation of the book of Acts. God's never changed his mind. But the book of Revelation shows how the Antichrist spirit will come into the church to defile it. Friends, I think we know quite a lot about that. Making it lukewarm and formal and powerless. But the book of Revelation exposes Satan, revealing his works. Right down to the time he's cast in the lake of fire. He fights that. He cannot stand it. Because Satan knows that if the people get the true revelation of the true church and what she is, what she stands for, and that she can do the greater works, she will be an invincible army. Amen. Satan knows that, friends. He knows if you and I really fully realize who we are. We have a partial realization now. But if you and I could allow that anointed message to bathe down so we really realize who we are in Christ. Not who you are because of your first birth from your mother and father. But who you are in Christ. Who you are in the mind and the thoughts and the purposes and the plan of God. The prophet says when the true church gets the true revelation that she can do the greater works, she's going to be an invincible army. That's why he says when the bride really realizes who she is, that's when there's going to come a body change. When we really realize who we are in the sight of God. Who we really are. But how are we ever going to do it? The same as Mary. We just need that anointed angel to keep ministering it to us. To keep ministering to us until it bathes down and becomes something very real in our experience. Now when the angel came, like I say, just to finish, bring it to a finish on this point. It's the same as when God sent Samuel to David. God didn't make a mistake. God sent his anointed messenger and he said to him in 1 Samuel, the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul? I've rejected him. Go, fill thine horn with oil. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. David never realized who he was. He just thought, I'm just the least of all of my brethren just out here. They don't even trust me with anything. They just send me out to look after my father's few little sheep. That's all that he thought that he was. But God thought different. And the only way God could get David to realize who he was, and the only way God could move David from where he was to the throne and to fulfill the great expectations that God had for him, God sent his angel to him. And down came Samuel, and then all the people who were in Bethlehem, they started to fear, saying, what is the prophet coming for? And he says, I've come in peace. And he came now into Jesse's house, and they never even considered bringing David. When Samuel said, let your sons pass before me, they let all the sons pass by, Aminadab and all of them. And Samuel, looking at the scene, he looked at the firstborn and he said, surely this is God's anointed. Look at the stature of this man. And God spoke to his heart and said, I've rejected him. Because I, the Lord, don't look as man looks. I, the Lord, look upon the heart. And all the sons passed by and God rejected everyone. Not to say that they weren't good believers, but God had a specific purpose for a specific person at that time. And God was going to send his prophet to anoint David to separate him from his brethren for a very specific purpose. And if you look back in your life, that's exactly what happened to you. When God sent the message of the hour to you and there was a spiritual something that took place. Because remember when David came, what did Jesse do? He took the horn of oil and he anointed David. And the Bible says, and the Spirit of God came upon him from that day. Something happened there. That was the former rain. That was when the seed was sown into David. But it didn't yet come into his power. But that visitation of the prophet was very specific. It was specifically sent by God to a specific place at a specific time to a specific person to fulfill a specific commission. Because God had a purpose. And that's when David started to realize that I'm not just the son of Jesse here, but God thinks a lot more about me than I thought that he thinks about me. Yeah, and then as David maybe started to ask Samuel questions about what am I supposed to do, but you know, I'm the least in my father's house and so forth. As that anointed prophet started to minister to the vessel that he was sent to minister to, something moved inside of David. And David would have been the same as Mary and said, be it unto me according to your word. You know, I'm not looking at this as an outward thing, but something inside of my soul is persuaded by the things that you're saying. That I believe that these things are true. You're telling me I'm going to sit on the throne one day. He could have looked at all the circumstances, but Saul is on the throne and Jonathan is his next, the next in line of the throne. And you know, all the different circumstances, but he didn't. He just looked at that promise and he stayed under the anointing of that anointing that the prophet had anointed him with. And friends, when Samuel came to him, Samuel came and started the work in David. Then Samuel went his way. And then that anointing that he had received under the message of the hour, that anointing took David all the way through his training, all the way through the wilderness, all the way through the things that he had to go through. And finally, that same anointing placed him on the throne. And he saw the fullness of all that God had promised to him manifest that day. And that's exactly the same as you and I. If you and I are predestined to be the bride, we are going to see the fullness of all that God promised for us. We're going to see it. You know, if you just look back, many times look back and see where you are now, then project that forward. And see, but hey, the Lord really had mercy on me. He did this for me. He revealed himself there. He helped me there. He delivered me there. He did all these things. He's brought me to where I am. Why did God do it? Is God going to just fulfill half of his promises towards you? Never. God's going to fulfill the fullness of your promises. And if you want it to come to pass quicker, let it bathe down. Just go and allow the anointed angel to minister God's thoughts to you. What God thinks about you, what God thinks about his bride, what God has in store and what God's purpose is for us in this age. I think it's a wonderful thing to do. Now the prophet says it, speaking about Mary, he says it in the message, God of this evil age, he says, but in obedience, this little faith woman, speaking of Mary, sorry, the bride, that lives by faith, the bride, she believes the word of God. She's obedient, waiting in love for the promise of the age to be confirmed. Aren't you waiting for that, friends? Don't you want to see God come in your life and come in our midst and come and confirm the promise of the age more than he's doing it now? We just need to lay in his presence, friends. We just got to do what we can do to put the atmosphere right, and let's wait upon the Lord. The prophet says she's watching for it because she's part of that word. And she's waiting for her life to manifest that word. Amen. That's what she's waiting for. She wants to see, because already you've seen your life manifest the word, but there's far greater promises still that God wants to manifest through your life and mine. Still far greater portion of his promises that he's got stored up. And still there's that greenness in us that if we can just bathe it down and the faith becomes ripe, we're going to see a greater manifestation of the word through us. The prophet says, brethren, can't you see that? I hope that doesn't go over you, he says. The body, which is the word, the bride, is waiting for the life, which is the spirit, to confirm or make it alive. Same with Mary. She just needed that special anointing to overshadow her. I'm sure she'd experienced God's anointing because she was God's chosen vessel in that age. Just like you and I, we've experienced his anointing in so many different ways, in so many different places and times. God's done things for you. God's anointed you. God's quickened you. God's used you in different ways. But you know, there's a deeper anointing. There's something further that's required for us to manifest the fullness of what it is we're supposed to manifest. No, because we're predestined to, there's a seed inside of us. There's something inside of us. Every seed will bring forth of its own kind. And we're just needing a greater quickening upon that seed. So that seed can express itself and bring forth more of the fruits of the tree of life, which it's supposed to bring forth in the end time. The prophet says she's waiting for that life. The spirit to confirm or make it alive. That's what she's waiting for. No other life will work in her. Nothing else will manifest it, friends. We can try to manufacture this. We don't want to do that. We want the genuine thing. We want to lay in his presence. We want to just look unto him. We just want the angel to keep on telling us who we are in the eyes of God. And tell us what it is that God has in store for us. And we just keep saying, Lord, be it unto me according to your word. We just accept it. The prophet says, no other life will work in her. She can't come to life any other way. Yet she feels it's out there. And she knows it's going to happen. Don't you feel that? Sometimes you feel so close to something breaking forth in your life. Don't you feel like that many times? There just comes a special unction into your soul and you just say, but Lord, oh Lord, let something great come forth for your glory. You can feel it. You know it's out there. You know you're predestined for something. You know he has the fullness of his purpose. You can look back. You see when the prophet anointed you. You see when the Holy Ghost came into your soul, in your life. You see the change in your life. You can see God's deliverance and God's leadership and how God has spoken to you in various ways and has guided and led you and directed you. But you know there's something more there. There's something that my soul, like the prophet would say, his soul was under an expectation, waiting for something. She knows it's going to happen. Then the prophet says, then, here it happens. And she wakes up. God said, let there be. And she'll come forth like the first one came forth. Friends, the message is full of such wonderful promises. And I believe that we are the vessels of honor set aside unto the master's use. The only thing that's left, we need to lay in the presence of the Son. We just need these things to bathe down, to become sweet in the soul, like the prophet says, so that our faith becomes golden brown, it becomes ripe. Then he says, then we become bread on his table. Then we start to see greater manifestation of what he has sent for us and what he wants to do through us. Because all the promises that Mary saw later on, they all came through her. They were birthed through her womb. When she received that and brought forth in the season of maturity, when she brought forth those great promises. Just to finish off, he says in the token, he says, I'm looking for a time of a breaking forth of the Spirit of God in these last days that we're living in. For another surge of the Holy Spirit into the church. For a rapturing faith just before it comes. Friends, don't you love those surges even in measure? When he gives you a surge, something happens inside of you. And it just quickens you. Maybe you are down and you're wondering about this, that, and the other, and you just get on your knees, or you just get in the Word, or you do something, whatever. And the Lord just quickens, brings that quickening to you. And just raises you up from where you are. And everything just changes inside of you at that time. Friends, that's just an earnest, just a small foretaste of what God has in store for His people. And what God is desiring to reveal in and through us. That's how Paul says, I reckon that the sufferings of this age, the things we have to go through and the way to our adoption, all of these things we have to learn as we get our whippings from the Lord sometimes, the chastisement from the Lord, as we put on the potter's wheel, as He takes us in the quarry and chips off the rough edges, all these things that He has to do for us. He says, I believe that the sufferings of this present age are nothing compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. The glory that shall be revealed. You know the glory is in there. Sometimes it just shines forth a little bit like with Moses. But friends, one day it's going to be a Mount Transfiguration. The prophet says just as much as God took His son. He says, and then He clothed Him in immortality on Mount Transfiguration. And the glory that was in Him, when that glory cloud overshadowed Him like it overshadowed Mary. When that cloud overshadowed Jesus on the mountain. It so quickened Him until His face shone like the sun. That potential in Him wasn't just a potential anymore. It was now shining forth. Oh, friends, don't you want to shine forth more? Just lay in the presence of the Son. Because as we behold His glory, as in a glass, we are transformed from glory to glory into the same image. That's how we get transformed. Oh, friends, I said it to Brother Will the other day. You know, the prophet, when he speaks about it, about untapped resources. You know, he speaks about the untapped resources that the church is sitting on. Friends, it's so true. Such resources. Such untapped resources. And all that we need is for the Lord to lead us and guide us and persuade our souls to believe for those things. And then God will manifest more and more of what He's ordained us for. But we're just the same. The prophet says the Word is in the bride. Just as it was in Mary. You know, for some time maybe you couldn't see it in Mary. You wouldn't have known because the Word was just growing in her womb. But the Word was growing in her. The Word was growing in her. Then it started to become apparent. Then people could see there was a change. And then one day she gave birth. And here came all the promises. She gave birth to them. Gave birth to exactly what her womb was ordained to bring forth. Let's just keep feeding on the Word, friends. Let's keep feeding. I read the quote on Sunday when the prophet says, with the restoration of the Word comes the restoration of the power. Because Jesus says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and life. So His Spirit comes on His Word. Now when you feed on the Word, you're going to feed on the Holy Ghost. That's what the prophet says in Inner Veil. He says, when you're feeding on the manna, He says, the manna is a type of the Holy Ghost. It's like you're feeding because the Word and the anointing always go together. And as God persuades you and you receive that Word and you let it bathe down, it comes with the anointing upon it. And the anointing sinks down and sinks down, then it brings forth of its own kind. Let it be so, friends. Let that be the desire and the prayer of our hearts to say, Lord, You've sent us Your angel from Your presence. It was Your grace. He came with a specific message for a specific purpose, a specific time, to a specific predestinated people that He was sent to. I send you, Elijah the prophet. It wasn't to everybody. Jesus says there were many widows in the days of Elijah, but He was only sent to one. A Gentile in Zarephath, the type of the Gentile bride. He was specifically sent by the Lord to her for a specific purpose. And then she saw the glory of God. And friends, let's keep holding on and yielding ourselves and feeding on these things that God has given us. And let it bathe down and come into the womb. And let's keep on saying, Lord, be done to me according to Your Word. Let's stand, let's sing a little bit since we come to a short time of prayer before we go. Be it unto me according to Your Word. You know, I know many churches, they sing that song. It would be nice one day if the musicians wouldn't mind learning that song. It's such a nice song. Be it unto me according to Your Word, according to Your promises. How wonderful His promises are. We don't realize what a favored people we are. Sometimes we look and we say, I'm struggling to pay my rent. Or sometimes you look and you say, no, this and that isn't going well inside of my life. But friends, you're a privileged person of the peoples of the earth. You know, I wouldn't want to change who I am for any of those football stars, any of those big men of the earth. We have something so far greater. in the eyes of God than all this world can offer. And we really need to worship the Lord and thank Him for that. Whatever you want, bro. If you've got a song there. That's okay, bro.
Ancient words.
Long preserved for our walk in this world. There is sound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Words of life, words of hope, give us strength, help us hope.
In this world,
wherever we roam, ancient words will guide us home. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. In the words of our faith, hand it down to this age. Came to us through sacrifice. Oh, hear the faithful words of Christ. Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Another one, right?
Yes. Because you're chosen.
I know.
You're chosen.
The narrow path, the hardest way. There's a great portion of heaven that's waiting for you. Because of what you've decided, that was the prophecy.
Was the prophecy
the angel told to the great messenger. That is what will produce great victory in the love divine.
I will walk this path. In the footsteps of Elohim, I want to get to the end of time. Ah, that even love will live in me. I will walk this path. I will despise. Oh, in the footsteps of Elohim, I wanna get to the end of time. That even love they live in me. This path has many trials and many battles against the enemy. But His Holy Spirit will lead us to perfect love. There is not much time remaining to walk in this path. Can already hear the shoutings of our beloved one coming to meet us. I will walk this path in the footsteps of Elohim. I wanna get to the end of time. That divine love may live in me. I will walk this path. I will walk this path. In the footsteps of Elohim, I wanna get to the end of time. That divine love may live in me. That divine love may live in me. That divine love may live in me.
Let's bow our heads, saints. Let's come to a time of prayer. Just to really ask you to remember the saints that have traveled to Poland. Brother Greg, Sister Olga, Alex, Sister Olga's husband. It's the first time since they accepted this faith that they've had to go back and see their old friends and their old life once again. So let's really lift them up in prayer. That the Lord may really strengthen them and keep them and bring them back. With testimonies and as a testimony of the goodness and the grace of God. Let's pray for the weekend coming up. Whatever the needs that you have, whatever the Lord lays upon your heart, let's just come before we leave this place and put ourselves before the Lord. Grateful, Lord, Father, for
Father, we look unto thee, Lord Jesus God, and we are grateful unto thee, Lord Jesus God, and every opportunity, Lord, give us such a great grace. You would be glorified, Lord, we pray. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Amen. 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 Let's sing one more before we close in prayer. Let's sing one more song, this. Brothers, if you don't mind. Maybe, Brother Vlad, you can then close for us in prayer. Amen.
closer walk with thee.
Granted, Jesus is my pain. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. I am weak, but thou art strong.
I am weak, but thou art strong, Jesus.
Jesus, keep me from the Lord. Satisfied as long as I walk, let me walk close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee.
Just a closer walk.
Granted, Jesus is my plea.
He's my plea.
Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Through this world of toils and snares, if I falter, Lord, who cares?
Lord, who cares?
Who with me my burden share? None but thee,
none but thee,
dear Lord, none but thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. When my feeble life is over, time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely over to thy feet, turn shore to thy shore. Just a closer walk with thee. Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. A closer walk with thee.
Just a closer walk with thee.
Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
Let's bow our heads and ask Brother Vlad to close us. If you have a desire before the Lord, a request, if you want to raise your hand to the Lord who sees the heart.
Heavenly Father.
Yes, Lord.
We are coming to the end of this service, O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
But you have no beginning and no end.
Yes, Lord.
O Lord, when we depart from this place, how we ask you, O Lord, that you will bring with your spirit. Just that we will, O Lord, be inspired, O Lord,
amen, Lord,
thinking about your promises, O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Thinking about people, they been thinking about you, O Lord,
amen,
about your promises, like
yes,
Mary, O Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes,
thinking, Lord. O Lord, like Elijah when he's supposed to be taken in heaven.
Yes.
And Elisha was there and he was so walking close until he saw Elijah
yes,
going up, O
Lord.
Lord.
Yes,
because
Lord.
There was promise when he sees him going up, O Lord,
yeah. yes,
that he
Lord.
Will receive that double portion.
Yes,
O Lord, like song says,
oh,
just a closer walk with thee, O
Lord.
Hallelujah. We realize that is not in our strength, O Lord.
Yes,
that
Lord.
Everything lies in thee, O Lord. We ask you, O Lord, come, speak to us,
Hallelujah.
O Lord.
Yes,
whenever
Lord.
We are, O Lord, help Amen. Us willing
Hallelujah.
Even, O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Even this body resists, O Lord.
Hallelujah.
Just distract us many things, O Lord, around. When we see even these things happening around, but Lord, you are our strength, O Lord.
Yes,
give us strength. Give us joy in you, O Lord.
Amen.
Help us, O Lord.
Yes.
Restore our strength.
Hallelujah.
When we need to go, just take care of our families and different things.
Yes.
But Lord, give us strength
Hallelujah.
To take concentration.
Yes.
Pay diligent, O Lord, with your word, O Lord.
Amen.
O Lord, help us with these things.
Yes,
strength us, O Lord. Once Amen. More, O Lord.
Amen.
O Lord. We commit ourselves into your hands. Even these hands which are lifted up, O
yes,
Lord,
Lord.
You know why, O Lord. You know us before we open our mouths,
yes,
O Lord. Before we even yes. say, even think, you know
yes,
our
Lord.
Needs.
Yes,
you know everything, O Lord. We want to just bring before you, O Lord.
Yes.
Because we know that you will fulfill in right time our needs, O
yes,
Lord.
Lord.
You will bless us with many
Hallelujah.
Things. You blessed us
Hallelujah.
Even in past, O Lord.
Yes.
We are so thankful, O Lord, for
yes.
everything. You
yes.
just came and prove us many times
yes,
that
Lord.
You love us, O
Amen.
Lord.
Yes,
o Lord.
Lord,
help us when
Amen.
We depart from this place that we will depart with your spirit.
Praise
with
Lord.
Spiritual
yes.
thought, O Lord. Help us to meditate
Amen.
Upon your word.
Yes,
help
Lord.
Us. May your spirit abide in us, O Lord,
yes,
we ask.
Lord.
We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. God bless you, saints. Meet you on the weekend by the grace of God. Amen. God bless you, man.
Sing our praise.